And good morning, America. It's the Power Hour on halfhearted.com. How you doing, Dan?
Oh yeah, how we doing? This is gonna be a smooth, low energy show.
An interesting morning recording. Well, morning for you, more late night for me.
Yes, it's.
I happened to discover that Amazon Prime had the hit USA show Psych on demand. I'm now in the third season. They also have Mock Dan, so I'm reliving the aughts.
The aughts are alive.
They're back, and it was
in the pump house.
Yeah, it was a better. Now I'm nostalgic. I might be the first person who's super nostalgic now for the aughts.
Well, that was bound to happen for our generation anyway, right?
Like, it was a better time. You know, no one was woke. It was really the only post-race period in America then.
I'm not sure about all this.
It was. We didn't have a racist president. It was great. Great time.
We didn't? I'm pretty sure we did.
Well, I wouldn't call Obama racist, Dan. That's a little own brand aughts. For the website.
That's not the aughts.
Obama
doesn't count as the aughts.
Oh wait!
Two years? No, he's the what? Did we ever come up with a term for that?
The teens.
Nah.
No, that's what shift. It's the teens, and you go the 20. You start over. It's not special.
But I don't like the teens either. Like, I don't like that as a term.
19. Well, what did you call it? 1915. That era.
Didn't call him anything. I wasn't alive.
The Roaring 10. We'll call them the Roaring 20s again, and then we'll have a big depression in the 30s.
You can't call it the Roaring 20s. Like, yeah. You can call it the 20s, but you can't call it the Roaring 20s.
The Roaring 20s 2.0. Man, little tech edge there.
The I-20s.
Yes, the I-20s. Where are we starting?
That's a very aughts thing, is putting I in front of, like, journalists putting an I in front of everything and being like, this is clever. Like they tried to call us the iGen.
I wish that would have stuck around. It's better than millennials. Because millennials plays better for a headline. It's fun to say. It's a word.
It's probably a better term.
Actually, the I generation would be perfect for like old people. But they'd be like, it's more like the me generation. Because there's unlike any other American generation.
That's literally what Vince Russo did when he named the Young Bucks.
Yes.
He called them Generation Me.
And if they would have stuck with him, they would make a lot more money. And they wouldn't have to do Twitter feuds with Daniel Cormier.
But on the flip side, anytime you get a chance to clown a goof who cries over everything, that's a win. Yeah. So go Young Bucks. Also, that man has so much CTE that he thought them shitting on a fan on Twitter was related to him.
Well,
because he's completely incapable of reason and thought.
I think it's going to be, but I'm waiting for one of the Young Bucks to drop a racial slur. That's where it's coming. I don't know if you heard about a little term called milkshake duck, Dan. It hasn't been overused and it's not annoying. The Young Bucks will milkshake duck themselves at some point.
God, I do love milkshake duck, and I'd be very sad. I'm sad to hear that milkshake duck might be getting overused.
It won Australian Dictionary or something word of the year.
That's pretty good.
I think that was a PR grab, but you know. I'm glad we're here on the Power to cover a variety of sports topics, such as USA sitcoms, odds nostalgia, and internet slang, Dan. But where do we start? This is a pretty crazy sports week, I thought. You go from this weekend in the NFL to MLK Day in the NBA. Even today in the NBA was pretty wild.
Let's start with the NFL, chronologically.
Let's start there. So I guess we'll start Saturday. The Falcons lost or something. I think the big story of this game is just the awful play calling at the end. Like, I've been a guy who hasn't been on to Sark too hard this year because I think a lot of the Falcons not doing as well is just deviating back towards to the mean. Like, they were really lucky last year and they weren't as lucky this year, and that's the NFL. But when you call a play action rollout on fourth and goal. I got to question something. Like, maybe he's drinking again or something. Because that's an awful play. Right, Dan? Maybe. Am I biased?
I hate that play. I like that as a short yardage in the middle of the field call.
Yeah, or maybe like second and three or something weird. But not fourth and goal. Like, not on a fourth down.
Yeah, I think it's a – I think when if you were, like, going for it on fourth down from, like, the 48, I love that play call.
Yeah.
But when you're going for when you're on the goal line, the field's smaller. Yeah. So like when you do a rollout like that, one of the benefits you get is that a tight end can get upfield a little bit because you've got all that space, and they're gonna have everybody kind of crowding in to stop the run. You might get somebody open behind the defense, bang, big play.
Yeah,
you can't do that in the red zone.
If you have a safety who maybe follows a guy who runs out on a long vertical, you might open up something in the second layer there, like a tight. And you know what? I don't necessarily hate that play call with the Falcons. You know, Tony Gonzalez. 6 years later. Or Jimmy Graham, or if you had Gronk, but you don't have a giant tight end who's reliable. Your best receiver there is Julio Jones, and you'd rather him, like, maybe get open. Like, maybe start on the right side, move to the left, and kind of have Matt progress that way.
Doesn't make sense, though, in the red zone, because you don't have that ability to open up space behind the defense.
Yeah.
Like the red zone is, like, the end zone is the barrier, so you're not... You're not able to stretch the field enough to make up for the fact you've cut off half the field.
Yeah, and Dan, here's something else I noticed a lot in that game. The Eagles went hard on the RPO. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know how much of that game you watched, but they went really hard on that.
That just makes sense when you got Nick Foles in the game. Like, you try to do stuff he knows how to do. He was running that stuff in college.
Yeah, and it kept the defense on their toes because they had to respect the run because the run had been working well. That was a good way for the Eagles to go. You can tell they're very well coached. Todd Peterson's a damn good NFL coach. That's fair to say. Or Doug Peterson, not Todd Peterson.
I don't know who Todd is. Todd's the guy who's in church with you.
Yeah, I didn't watch a second of Titans Patriots. I was at a party. I saw a couple of glances. It looked like it wasn't worth watching. I heard the play calling though was awful.
Yeah, Mike Mularkey got fired. Yeah. Well,
just ran up the middle every time. Like, you went less miles on us, right?
It could not be any clearer that Mike Mularkey should not be coaching Marcus Mariota. Like, I just think of that quote, like, Andy, like, somebody on Twitter had those quotes, like, side by side. And it was like Andy Reid had a quote, like, whatever college is doing 3 years ago, that's what's going to get into the NFL. Like, so you always be looking, like, you always have to be looking at what college is doing, because that's what the NFL will be doing in 3 years. And then Mike Mularkey was like, I'm not going to ever do college stuff. That stuff just won't work in the NFL. And it's like, okay, these are two different ways of looking at football, and one of them is a smart guy who's always had great offenses, regardless of his quarterbacks. Like, he's had a lot of, like, mediocre quarterbacks and made them pretty great. And then the other guy is a dumb shit.
Yeah. Well, and look at the guy he lost to, Belichick, who's the best of both worlds, where he's pretty conservative with how he runs his offense, but he does implement some college stuff, you know, especially when the spread got popular. You saw him do that in, 2007?
Yeah.
Four wide and all that fun stuff.
They were straight up running the air raid for a few years there.
So, like, it kind of shows why Mike Mularkey probably doesn't block. I think Mike Mularkey, though, college, he should go coach, like, some awful team like Rutgers. I think that's where I'd like to see Mike Mularkey.
Poor Rutgers.
Yeah. Or, like, not Syracuse, because they're on the – just some bad – like, Boston College, that's a perfect fit.
Let me think. What is the perfect, like, hire a shitty NFL coach? Well, Illinois already did it.
Illinois already did. Arizona, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but they didn't. Fulfill my dream of hiring a shitty former NFL coach.
Minnesota.
What about, like, yeah. Well, Minnesota made a good hire, though, last time.
Yeah, they did. But they feel like the kind of school that would do that.
Yeah.
If they didn't have P.J. Fleck.
For sure.
Or if, like, P.J. Fleck gets fired for, I don't know, trying to date a cheerleader.
Or honestly, P.J. Fleck, when he leaves in 2 years, he goes somewhere else. But let's jump up. Let's jump to the Sunday games. Those are pretty wild, Dan. First off, my Jags did it, Dan. My new favorite team. Two of my new favorite teams played on Sunday. First one's my Jags. Happy to see that team doing well.
America's Jags.
Yeah. If they beat the Patriots, I think this might be the team that brings America, makes us great again, if you will, Dan. It's going to bring us together. Jacksonville Jaguars. All because of Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles will be a president in 20 years. It's going to be a great time.
That's what it all comes down to, is can we come together as a society and have...
Then we're screwed when Blake Bortles throws the nuclear football into, like, a spy's hands accidentally.
Well, it comes down to, you know, can we all sit here and begin our new American pastime of debating whether he's elite or not?
Yeah, that's all I want, Dan. I really want this Jacksonville team to win so that we can have a debate, because this team does that. We talked about in the pre-show, it reminds me a lot of that Baltimore Ravens, kind of both, but more so the Baltimore Ravens team that won more recently with Joe Flacco. Kind of a similar thing. Good defense, solid run game, quarterback who kind of sucks and not really a franchise guy, but he can click when it matters.
But he gets hot.
Yeah. You know? It's sort of like maybe in the NBA where you have a point guard who gets hot in the playoffs one year and then gets overpaid. That's kind of what's going on there. Yeah. But I'm rooting for my job.
Or like a college basketball, like you always have that like guy who goes crazy in the tournament and then gets drafted like 10 spots too high and
yeah, like
comes
like
close
that
to that
white,
ever again.
Who's like the white guy from Syracuse? I feel like that happened to.
Oh God, like, I could see his face.
Minnesota
his
took
name.
Him. It's like him and Rubio in the same year or something.
Oh, Johnny Flynn.
Johnny Flynn. It feels like a similar situation to that. But yeah, Jacksonville wins. They dominate Pittsburgh, but when Pittsburgh started to come back, Jacksonville had an answer every time. That was the most impressive part to me. They didn't fold under pressure. They just kept scoring.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways the Jaguars are just too young to know that they're not supposed to do this. In some ways, like...
And they're angry. That's like the beauty. The best part. Yeah,
they are extremely mad about everything.
Yeah, they're like angry black men in the 60s and 70s. Dan, you know, that's like, what the black like Jack.
The Steelers, like defense, talking mild crap about Blake Bortles sent them into a frenzy. I'm just like, oh, talk about it now. Talk about it now. We just scored 45 points on you. Talk about Blake now.
Yeah. It's great. I love it, though, because, like, that's what hot football teams do. They get each other's back. That's chemistry. That's what you want. That's what championship teams do, you know? They get fired. They have a swagger to them. And that's what you need when you go to New England on Sunday.
Yeah, especially if you're going to be dealing with, like, you know, the New England pseudosciences.
Yes.
Like Tom Brady's going to be there. He's going to have his phrenology, you know, calipers.
And skulls. But I think we'll talk about that game in a little bit, but I like my Jags to do well. Last game, though, you know, two awesome game, both out of the NFC, oddly enough. But that Minnesota Saints game that kind of capped off the day on Sunday was one of the strangest things if you follow the NFL and kind of get the bad luck Minnesota's had.
I mean,
football history, Dan.
It's not just like a recent thing. Like, my dad's a Vikings fan, so but like this is a team that when they came into existence, like they were thrown into existence in the '60s. Like 61 was their first season to like balance out the fact that they added the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and basically from the moment they came into existence, like they got this great quarterback Fran Tarkenton that the coach hated, so they traded him away. So okay, we get this like all time great quarterback, and then we get rid of him. Then they get a new coach, they go to a Super Bowl, they're favored to win by like 20, and they lose. They get Fran Tarkenton back, so all right, things are looking up. They go to 3 Super Bowls, they're favored to win every single one, they lose all 3, and not close.
All-time defense, too. It's not like they were fluky, you know what I mean, Dan? It wasn't just some offensive power, it's mostly a defensive team.
Yeah, they had an all-time great defense, and then they get to the Super Bowl and lose by 40. And give
like
up,
Terry Bradshaw, the worst quarterback ever.
There was a point, I think they played in back-to-back Super Bowls against the Vikings or against the Dolphins and the Steelers, and they gave up the rushing record in back-to-back seasons. like Larry Zonka broke the single game Super Bowl rushing record, and then Franco Harris came around and broke it the next year.
Yeah.
And then they had the heartbreaking, you know, 80s teams when they moved into the Dome and they became more of a finesse team. And they, you know, they had very good offenses, maybe didn't have a great defense, but they made it deep into the playoffs and then they would get their heart broken by, like, the Giants or you know, somebody like that would just show up and slam the door in their face. And then, obviously, you know, your team really – the Falcons year they made the Super Bowl was the year my dad stopped watching the NFL regularly. Because he grew up a Vikings fan. He watched it religiously. That season, he was like, all right, this is the year we're going to do it. This is the year we're going to do it. And then they lost because a kicker who had not missed a kick all season
made it.
Missed a kick indoors to send it to overtime.
Literally one of the worst teams to ever make a Super Bowl.
Yes, the Dirty Bird Falcons were like the quintessential, hey, you're happy to be there, you're happy you made the playoffs.
I was arguing with a friend about this team the other day, and I was like, I'm pretty sure they had like two Hall of Famers on the team. They had one, Dan. It was Morton Anderson, the kicker.
Jesse Tuggle.
I think he's like a Falcons all-timer, but I'm not sure if he's a, you know, like, clearly he isn't, he would have been in by now. But yeah, you had like big play Ray Buchanan. Tony Martin was your leading receiver. Great, all-time great team.
Who was the quarterback on that team?
Chris Chandler. The man who the fans cheered when he got injured so Michael Vick could come in.
He was just this, like, guy, if you breathed on him wrong, like, he'd collapse. And at the time, we all made fun of him, but in retrospect, he probably just had, like, CTE as, like, a 28-year-old.
Yeah. Or, like, Mr. Glass Syndrome, like, from the film.
Unbreakable, I believe.
Unbreakable, yes.
Starring Samuel L. Jackson.
Chris Chandler. It's Mr. Glass.
So the history of the Vikings. And then after that, you get Dante Culpepper. Everything's looking great. He then tears up his knee. Everything's not so great. You have to get rid of Randy Moss because he
hates life now. Yeah, you have maybe the most talented wide receiver in the history of football. You know, a guy who made it, you know, kind of makes what Antonio Brown does look second tier almost, how good this guy was. You just waste him. Literally waste his career in Minnesota.
And then the Brett Favre thing where you sell your soul to finally get a good quarterback,
and your chance to go to the, you know, I think it was what he was supposed to kneel and he doesn't and they lose the game or something stupid like that.
He throws an interception. Yeah. I mean, it was like the Brett Favre year in Minnesota was like the ultimate monkey's paw. Like, okay, you got what you wanted. Like, here's what happens.
Yeah, this is why he won one Super Bowl, despite the fact he has all these passing records. Because he also is all-time leader in interceptions for a reason. So you have that. You have Blair Walsh, who misses the field goal against Seattle years ago. You have last year a team that started off like 6-7-0, and then just fell apart. And then this year, everything went wrong, you know? Go back to last year, you lost Teddy Bridgewater and ruined his career basically, as probably an NFL starter. You lose your other starter, Sam Bradford. You lose your number one draft pick, your running back, whose name escapes me, the kid from FSU last year.
Cook.
Yeah, you lose Cook, for the season. And then somehow you come back. You go up a field goal in New Orleans, but you leave Drew Brees, what was it, like a minute 58 or something. He comes back, gets the field goal, and then the most miraculous play in Minnesota history happens, Dan. A play where they weren't even trying to score a touchdown. They're just trying to get in field goal range and out of bounds. The Saints whiff on a tackle. Marcus Williams has been, like, an excellent rookie. You know, whiffs on a tackle. And then Diggs, the rest was history.
Did you see Manny Diaz talking shit about the Saints' defense there?
No.
Manny Diaz on Twitter is like, yeah, I mean, the guy didn't make the tackle, but you should never have, in that situation, a defense called where there's not, like, a second guy.
Like, you even just back someone up and you say, okay, we'll just let him kick the field. Like, you know, screw it. Let's just rather that than a touchdown, you know.
That's what Manny Diaz said. It's like, if they end up with a field goal, I mean, you can live with them kicking a field goal and beating you. You can't live with just giving them the touchdown, they did.
As silly as it feels, like, you know, you always think this is like a fan thing with curses. Maybe if you're Sean Payton, you should be thinking, you know what, this is a team that has really bad luck, you know? Like, sometimes I think you got to play into that a little bit, you know? And Sean Payton seems like the type who would. You know, did you see the video of him making fun of the skull chant to the Minnesota fans?
God, I can't believe he actually did that. I heard he'd done it.
There's a picture. And
then I couldn't believe he had until I saw the actual video, and it's just like, oh my God, you totally deserve this. You brought this on yourself.
And, you know, Dan, as a Falcons fan, New Orleans fans have been talking shit all year. Falcons blew a 25-point lead. So for them to blow a lead in 25 seconds, Dan, was maybe proof that there's a higher power right there. That is poetic justice, I think. Maybe it's not as bad as won the Super Bowl, but it's still pretty damn funny. So it is, and as a Falcons fan, I've talked to multiple other Falcons fans. If we're gonna lose, we'll take New Orleans losing that way too. Like, it is one of the best rivalries in the NFL that no one knows about. So
yeah, well, because you're not based in like New York.
Yeah,
and
honestly, the reason you'll get a lot of media coverage too. Both fan bases tend to be black, you know, and there just aren't that many black people, in, you know, on ESPN. You were writers and things like that. Except, you know, former athletes, sure, but not a lot of, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But I even saw some of the players. Tack McKinley tweeted out and made fun of New Orleans. So that makes it a little bit sweeter. You know, even though we lost, it's okay. And then Todd McClure made fun of him also, a retired Falcon from last year. So yeah, I think even the players are kind of into the rivalry there. They don't like Dolans, you know?
I've never met anybody from Atlanta who liked New Orleans and vice versa.
Yeah.
Memphis is the middle ground.
Yeah. I think someone tweeted out that they should just let the Falcons and Saints play a third place game just so the fans can duke it out on Twitter for another week. Because imagine if that was the NFC Championship, it'd be, unless you're on Twitter or like in the community kind of, you would never know how big of a game that is. You know, that's like Pat Steelers times 8 right there.
Yeah, they really just don't like each other at all.
Yeah.
But instead we're told that, like, Cleveland-Pittsburgh is a rivalry, which is, okay, nobody gives a shit about that rivalry.
Jacksonville-Pittsburgh was more of a rivalry, when you think about it, kind of. At least this season, you know, they used to be big rivals back when they were in the same division, and Jacksonville was kind of good in the early odds, late 90s.
The Mark Brunell years.
Yes, the Fred Taylor years is... as some would say.
I for whatever reason, I just always go by the quarterback.
Yeah. All right, but Dan, let's look ahead to these championship games. You know, two games are going to determine the Super Bowl in, what, 3 weeks?
Hit me. So,
and the NFL is scared to death. This could go two ways.
I mean, you say that, but they did, like, double the rating the college football national championship did.
Yeah, probably triple. Regardless of who you put in this game. And there's fun storylines, I think, regardless of who wins. You just got to market it right. It just doesn't look good on paper. But that's why you have marketing teams, I guess. First game, AFC Championship, 3 o'clock on CBS in New England, Jacksonville, New England. New England favored by 9. Give me my Jags. Give me my Jags outright, Dan. The Jags are winning and going to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady doesn't play well against teams with great pass rushes, nor does he really play that well against all-time great defenses. I mean, he lost to the Ravens, famously. The Giants, multiple times, who had an all-time great pass rush. I like the Jags here. I think this is Tom Brady's kind of kryptonite, a team like this. If Bortles continues to make plays and they can run the ball, no one's going to lose.
And I think the Patriots are coming apart at the seams.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, you got guys abandoning ship. You just lost two of your coordinators.
You know, they're losing their coordinators. They lost their quarterbacks coach last year to Alabama,
yeah.
Who's now going back to the NFL. They've got, you know, they've just got a lot of distractions right now.
Yeah,
It'll be so funny if they lose this game.
And then, you know, if Tennessee was maybe better coached or had a better game plan, they probably could have won. I mean, they were up early, and then they just did nothing with it, you know? So it's no reason to think that maybe New England just should have won that game outright besides Tennessee just being dumb. You know, I think that's more like, oh, Tennessee's just a badly coached team, and that's why they lost, because New England has a better coach at the end of the day. But if they get challenged this week, Jacksonville's going to win.
I agree.
I feel it. Next game, Minnesota, Philadelphia, in Philadelphia. Nick Foles versus Case Keenum, baby. It's like the Orange Bowl, or it's like the Meineke
Not, Care That would have not been an Orange Bowl. Yeah, that would have been a Sun Bowl.
It feels like a Sun Bowl rematch almost, Dan. Minnesota
Arizona versus Houston.
Yes. Minnesota favored by 3. Give me the Vikings here. Feel good story. Let's play the Super Bowl at home. But they're probably going to get heartbroken this week. I feel like God's just teasing Minnesota, maybe.
That would be classic Minnesota. You just set them up. Like, oh, man, finally the worm is turned.
It's like, it's like the T-Wolves are looking good, but then, like, they lose to the Magic tonight. Like, maybe now, like, Butler, like, just dies.
not just has a bad game, just, like, passes
collapses away. From there, just like he just played too many minutes. That's what the autopsy says. It was just, like, 38 minutes per game. That's just all the coroner says. It all could go very wrong for Minnesota, but, like, I think they should win. The offense is playing well. It's a really good defense that is going to see what, you know, kind of Philadelphia did versus Atlanta last week. They're going to know they're going to run a lot of RPO, so Atlanta can't, you know, Philadelphia can't really do the same thing, I don't think. Hmm. You know, and how successful are you going to be? Because, like, you didn't have to show a lot with Nick Foles, and maybe that kind of hurt the Falcons' little defense where they didn't have to show everything they had to kind of secure their spot because they were so far ahead. Showed a little bit more this week. Minnesota's got a much better D than Atlanta. I think Minnesota has a chance to dominate this game. This one could get ugly, Dan.
I think Minnesota wins, and I think they win big as well, because it comes down to your quarterback is Nick Foles. Yeah. Like, eventually he's going to play that – he's going to have that crap game that Nick Foles always has.
Yeah. But you know the NFL – I think the NFL wants the opposite of what we just picked. New England, Philadelphia, that's – you know, they've done it before. I'm sure did good ratings the first time around. So I'm assuming that's what the NFL wants the most. So look out for that, conspiracy theorist. If some flags go the right way. I think really it'd be fun with Minnesota too. I think it's Jacksonville the NFL really doesn't want that in that Super Bowl.
You know, I'm not sure the NFL cares all that much because they built the Super Bowl up and the late playoffs up so much that people will just watch it. Like, that's for true. All the talk about, like, NFL ratings, once the playoffs started, the ratings went back through the roof.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, people are starting to lose interest in, like, random, you know, regular season games. They don't have the interest in them they used to have, but then the playoffs starts, and it's like,
It feels like something you kind of see across all sports right now. You know, you look at the NBA, the playoff, you know, the ratings are much higher usually for the playoffs. Same thing with baseball, or I'm sure even hockey is similar. I think that's just kind of where we are kind of too in America, where it's just, if you're going to watch something live, it better be pretty damn important and not like some game between Washington and Dallas. It doesn't matter in November on Sunday night.
Yeah. Or like Monday Night Football is just slowly rotting away.
Well, you hear ABC might try to get back in the game, Dan.
Man.
They're going to try to bid for the Thursday night game.
Interesting.
And there is the hot rumor ESPN might just drop Monday Night Football when the contract comes up because they're just bleeding cash. And I don't think it's the worst idea.
Okay, so would ABC, like, how is this working? Because I know they're both owned by Disney, but they have separate, like, department heads.
Yeah, I don't think ABC would get Monday Night Football. I think Monday Night Football would just go to maybe NBC or maybe NFL Network. Or
might just go away.
Or honestly, if you're going to circle one, maybe TBS, TNT, Turner gets in on that.
Turner, the former home of the original home of Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Before ESPN rode in and snatched half of the games up. Yeah.
And I think that's a big get for TBS. They get it. I mean, Turner Sports is great. They don't really do football anymore. They haven't done football since what, they had the Pac-12 or Pac-10 contract back in the day.
Well, I remember they had the SEC contract way back in the day.
Yeah. But like that was their last time they did football, right? It was like Pac-10.
I don't even remember that.
Because they use the Elton John song "Saturday Nights, All Right for Fighting,"
which is when you know you really have cool people in charge.
Yeah.
of your media department.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Well, it might be something to revisit, a fun lost sports media memory. Is football and TBS?
I just remember the SEC opening. That they used to have, where it was like, it was like a little Confederate soldier firing into like a thing. It was like SEC football. Like, it was so fucking Southern. it was almost like minstrel Southern. Like they were almost making fun of Southern people. It was so Southern.
Right. Looking back at it, Dan, it looks like it would have been in like 2004, 2006 when TBS playing the Pac. So back in the golden era of the Pac-10, I'm sure they never had a USC game. It was always like Washington State versus Cal or something.
Oh, yeah. USC was probably on like ABC. Like, they probably whatever the main network turned down, they got.
Kind of like what Fox has now, kind of, right? Because, like, all the big Pac 12 or Big Ten game or whatever we call it now, are always on ABC, right? Cause, or maybe they trade Ohio State, Michigan or something. I forgot how they do it now.
I think it's a mess, and nobody wants to hear us go through like TV contracts, but like. Yeah, like ESPN usually gets like the first dibs, and then they get whatever the next highest game is. Except for like once or twice a year, they get first pick to like balance out. It's complicated and silly, but
at the end especially now that Disney owns Fox Sports, but I think it's just the regional side, not the.
Yeah, they don't own Fox, and they don't own Fox Sports 1,
okay. or Fox Sports 2.
So yeah. Like they couldn't buy the Fox network because they already own ABC. That would have been an antitrust thing. Yeah. You're not allowed to own more than one broadcast network. And then they didn't want FS1 because they already have ESPN. And they're like, well, why would we take a thing that's basically the exact same except shittier in every way?
Yeah, and like when we're trying to consolidate ESPNs, you know.
And they wanted the locals because they're like, well, that's an actual thing that makes money.
And it's something you can use to promote your prime time, especially like NBA. Like maybe start out in that NHL contract. That might open the door again for ESPN and the NHL.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're gonna have the NHL on their local things now, and so it's
it would make sense because I think that's just an avenue to promote bigger prime time games. I think you'll see a lot. I think you'll see a lot with the NBA and college basketball, especially right away. And I wouldn't be shocked to maybe see some other, like, smaller college football games float their way out there. You know, like the Wake Forest versus Clemson's or something in the world. Maybe float their way to, like, Fox Sports Southeast. Only in regions where people would care about that game.
Yes.
Yeah. So that should be interesting. You want to jump? Let's jump. I'm going to save the last story, the best for last, damn it. Let's kind of jump into some college football season wrap-ups here.
I love it.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
So, I'm very prepared for this. So, we kind of did our rankings last week, but then who'd you say was the most impactful player? Who's your Heisman, your revisited Heisman? We can give a better name.
Well, let's see.
Your Herschel Jackson, if you will, combining the two greatest players ever.
It would have to be that Alabama defensive lineman, right? Because, like, he was... He was the eater of worlds, right? Like,
he kind of changed everything. I'm going to give it to Tua. That's my player of the year, Dan.
He didn't play the whole thing. Did you hear what Scott Frost said?
No.
So Scott Frost was like, yeah, we recruited him to Central Florida. I knew he was the best quarterback in the country. It took them 12 games to figure it out, though. So, you know, everybody was talking about Alabama being so smart and so good. And such a great coaching staff. Like, apparently they needed 12 more games than I needed.
Yeah, to give the other quarterback they had before, who was like a number one recruit, who already won a national championship. It's not like they had, like, some idiot in there who never did anything, you know. They had a quarterback who had been successful in the playoffs before. And had lost how many games in his career, Dan? Like, two or three?
Three total.
Yeah, like, three total.
Although, one of them was to Auburn. Mm-hmm. So...
Another one's to Clemson in the playoffs. So, two pretty important games. Who's your coach of the year besides Scott Frost?
I was going to say Scott Frost. Let me think. I would definitely say that Scott Frost was my coach of the year, but if I can't pick Scott Frost, Scott Frost. I'm sticking with Scott Frost because I can't think of anybody else. I can't think of anybody else that I would give it to. Like, he took a team that went 0-12 like 2 years ago. Last year, in his first year, they go 5-7. This year, they go 12-0, and like nobody, 13-0, 14-0. They won their conference championship, and then they won their bowl game. And they, like, nobody at no point this year did anybody look like they could slow down their offense.
I'm going to say Lincoln Riley. That's my coach there. Kind of thrust upon him to be head coach out of nowhere and had a pretty successful year, you know?
See, I can't give it to Lincoln Riley by the fact that he kind of choked away the playoff game. Like, the play calling there in overtime was so, like, oh, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
oh,
I'm
terrified.
Experience, too, is being a head coach. I mean, he's a first-year head coach, you know?
Scott Frost wasn't afraid. Scott Frost wasn't afraid of Auburn.
He was at 12 o'clock in the Peach Bowl.
You can't play that game when, like, Central Florida went before the game was like, yeah, they're slow. They're like, SEC ain't ready for our Florida speed. And then all the Auburn guys were like, oh, really? Well, we're going to fuck you up. You can't then go, away. We didn't really care. Like, no, they called you out.
They were all just really hurt and banged up. I'm just getting killed all year.
Well, but then you can't change the excuses. Like, if that's the excuse, the excuse.
I still say UCF cheated. The one-armed man. How do you block that?
He's able to slip under. He just moves that arm up.
And he's gross to touch. We've gone over
sure, you might he might have leprosy, and then you leprosy. Might catch it.
Exactly.
Who knows why he lost that hand?
I don't like that at all. Who is your most surprising team of the year? We'll do two of these. Who's your most surprising good?
Let's see. The most surprisingly good team.
I'll go first.
I would say Georgia.
Okay.
That's my number one. I didn't expect them to be that good.
I was going to go a little bit more deep cuts here. I was going to say Purdue.
Okay, yeah. Purdue definitely. Purdue was definitely
Purdue had a pretty good year.
Yes,
all things considered.
Yes, they came for especially early in the season. They did kind of level back. They did kind of come back down to earth a little bit. But you know, they the fact that they went 6-6, I believe they went, is a testament to Jeff Brohm.
Yeah. This is Purdue most surprising bad team. I guess you just got to say FSU, but maybe it's not. In retrospect, it doesn't feel surprising, but it was to me. I was a guy who had them win in the ACC and in the championship game. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, FSU is the biggest disappointment of the season, for sure.
Well, shouldn't even technically have even been in a bowl.
Yeah, like they literally did not qualify for a bowl, and nobody at the NCAA bothered to look into
was
it.
That was, like, the best story, because, like, literally just no one cared, because we don't know bowls.
Bunch of Reddit, like, my favorite thing about that story was, like, supposed real reporters getting pissy about it and going, this is not a story, this is ridiculous, they're going to play in a bowl game. And it's like, yeah, because, like, a bunch of Reddit people did the job you're supposed to do. Like, if you guys had done this story, like, 2 weeks earlier, they probably wouldn't have been in a bowl game.
And, you know, maybe it was a cover-up, a little FSU Illuminati thing there.
Make I mean, sure that's they... always, I'm always, vigilant, hyper-vigilant for the Taco Bell Illuminati.
Did you see what Charlie Daniels tweeted out? How Taco Bell was taunting us with the Illuminati? Or it's not funny or something like
it's
that.
Not funny. The Illuminati serious business.
No, and like, did you hear like the J.J. Redick, Kyrie Irving podcast? They talked about it, and J.J. Redick was like, yeah, they're taunting us or something like that. Like if the Illuminati exists, they're going to associate their brand with Taco Bell.
I mean, like, it's just if
the diarrhea of fast food.
If you can't, like, at some point come to the realization that, like, oh, wow, those YouTubes I watched, okay, yeah, they kind of made this seem like a thing, but actually everybody else is making fun of me because this is so stupid. Yeah. And but your thing is to come back, no, Taco Bell's now part of the Illuminati. Like, okay, you're so far gone.
There's mind control.
You're so stupid. You're such a fantastically stupid person.
Well, the best thing about the Kyrie thing, Dan, was like he got most of that information from Instagram videos.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
So,
God, and my favorite thing is like J.J. Redick and Kyrie Irving shooting down once and for all the myth that like Duke basketball players are smarter than other basketball players.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like Duke just lets them in so they can play sports. Like they're
like,
not.
People just think that because like they have a bunch of white guys who are good. So like, yeah, it's like our national, like our weirdly like racist society, especially in like sports media, especially like 90s sports media when it was just a bunch of old white guys for the most part. Christian Laettner, he must be smart.
Christian Laettner can't do math. Like, Christian Laettner is as dumb as a box of shit.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about Duke, so this doesn't totally fit. But Tim Tebow is literally one of the dumbest people. Like, do you know what his SAT score was?
Meanwhile, like, no one talks about, was it Jaylen Brown, who played at Cal, who plays for the Celtics now? It's like, literally one of the, like, he took advanced math classes. I want to say that weren't even, like, in his major. Because he was just so smart. Like, he's like one of the smartest men you'll ever meet. Never hear a word about how smart he is.
Yeah,
went to Cal.
Like, yeah. Tim Tebow was called, like, a heads-up, like, gritty player, and it's like Tim Tebow had, like, a 680 SAT score. Like, the only reason he was able to qualify for college is, one, he went to an SEC school, and two, he was, like, a homeschooler, home school. Like, his mama yeah. gives him the test and gives him the answers before
watching,
he takes it.
Watching Bible Man for history class, or, you know,
God,
you know,
I miss Bible Man.
I recently discovered a little service called, it was called like Lightflix, and it's like a Christian Netflix. And on the subsection, one of them is like great for homeschooling. So of course I click on that. And there's a picture of like Bible Man, the Great American Math Challenge. It's like a game show starring Jeff Foxworthy on the Game Show Network. That's on there. As suggested educational teaching materials for homeschooled kids.
Sure. Like who did that? He was a sitcom actor from the 80s who then...
Oh, really? I'll look this up. Are you a big Bible Man fan?
I do. I just remember him being on television a lot. A lot. When I was a youngin'.
Yeah.
Or a teenager. That was actually more of a teenager thing. And we would, like, be flipping around the TV, and you'd come to, like, TBN or something, and Bible Man would be on, and we'd just howl. We would just howl with laughter.
Willie Ames. From Eight Is Enough. And Charles yep. in Charge. What's up with, like, the 80s sitcom actors, like, being major Christians? Like, you've got Kirk Cameron.
Because none of them could act. They were all, like, hired for, like, their looks. And what do shallow people turn to when their looks go away? They find the next scam.
Because, like, you have Kirk Cameron, like, Kirk Cameron's sister. And then
she's a Mormon.
Oh.
Like, so she's become a Mormon, and he's become, like, a hardcore dumbass born
again. So, like, she's cool. I mean, Mormons are kind of bigoted and awful, but they're nice people, it seems like, for the most part. You know, they're nice guys. So,
I mean, you know, you could do worse than a Mormon.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was flipping
You would want a Mormon neighbor. Like, yeah. You would want a Mormon neighbor.
Yeah, but flipping through Netflix, I'm thinking about subbing $9.99 a month. Maybe just taking the plunge and that's my entertainment for the month. It's just nothing else with Netflix. They've got documentaries on evolution is bullshit, all sorts. But
they got that Ben Stein.
Oddly enough, they have Baby Geniuses, like 1, 2, 3, and 4 on there.
What?
Because it's like fans, so they're going like for that family because they're trying to get like the secular market. But, like, clearly nobody who's not, like, a crazy Christian is using the service. But, yeah, Baby Genius is, like, 1, 2, 3, and 4 on there.
Well, that's kind of what happened with the Family Channel. Because, like, that the Family Channel did that over the course of our childhood.
Yeah. And
it went from being, like
Sexy Little Liars or whatever. Pretty Little Liars.
Pretty Little Liars.
Literally about teenage sluts who, like, kill people or something.
But, like, the Family Channel, when it started, was literally just, like, Pat Robertson. And, like, the Odyssey cartoons.
Yes.
You know.
I didn't see VeggieTales on Netflix. That was probably, that to me, I think, would be, like, the big seller still. I don't know if that's what they watched.
See, they're probably too big. They're trying to do their own service.
Yeah, I heard, like, Larry the Cucumber's gay now. He fell out. Bob the Tomato died. He's trans now. He wanted to be ketchup. He wanted...
Jesus.
What he was born to be. So some pretty wild stuff. So
I feel like whoever was there was something about VeggieTales that felt a little bit more competent.
Like, it was well done. It was well. I think like it wasn't very. I think like when it went up and like competed against like real cartoons, it always did like really shitty in the ratings. But like for Christian shit, it was like the best Christian based thing ever.
And I've always kind of wondered if maybe VeggieTales, like, the people who did it weren't super Christian. They just, like, saw, oh, this is a market. And maybe that's why now everybody hates
them. Yeah, it's like, oh, we saw Toy Story. And then, do we know if everyone hates them? Maybe we need to investigate and go back to church and look around. Well, hang around in the youth center.
Okay, this might end badly.
So, listeners, go to your local church and just kind of snoop through where all the kids are hanging out. What are they gonna? It's a church. You're allowed to go in there because they don't own it. God does.
Also, you know, you're probably like less likely to be a sex pest than the people who work there.
That's
so,
true. You might stop.
You might end up accidentally stopping a sex pest.
You could be. What's up with like? It seems like every youth pastor turns out to be a sex creep, Dan. I had that. I knew, like, a church founded the private school I went to. They had a youth pastor who was, like, molesting, like, a 14-year-old girl. He was, like, 22. And I was trying to think of why this happened so much, Dan. And I think it's because, like, a lot of these guys were big nerds when they were teenagers. And just never, like,
got a ticket. Well, they're emotionally stunted.
Yeah. And they never got a ticket from girls. They're getting it now, and they don't know what to do. Because they're, yeah, maybe they are kind of still stuck in, like, being a kid or something weird. I think it has to do more just being horny and never getting any when they're, like, 16. And, like, that's still, like, their, you know, their view of women never really evolved.
Yes.
Maybe that's a deeper issue of misogyny and Christianity that we could touch on on our new format, Dan, where we talk.
Well, I never trust any grown man who wants to spend a lot of time around kids.
Yeah.
That aren't his own.
I get, like, a guy who wants to be, like, a youth leader or whatever. That's one. Yeah, that's cool. You're leading, you're helping kids, like, stay out of trouble. That's awesome. But, like, someone who, like, it's like when you go to their house and play games, it's like, no.
No.
That, like, maybe, like, an 18-year-old be a leader and a mentor do that, but you shouldn't.
Yeah. Like, the youth pastors who you can usually feel a little bit safer to let your kids around are, like, the ones where it's like, yeah, I just got to do this because I got to work
yeah.
my way up.
And, like, like, they have a wife.
This is just
kids.
The first step.
Yeah. And, like, they're trying to start their own church or be a, you know, a pastor. Exactly, Dan.
It's
and, like, maybe
like,
they have a wife and kids.
Like, youth pastor is, like, the low rung in the pastordom.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well,
okay, I gotta pay my dues as a youth pastor.
Yeah.
And then I'll work my way up.
Well, I think
the dude who's, like,
for,
been doing youth yeah. pastoring and hasn't moved up and hasn't seemed interested in it, you better start doing some searching.
I think, though, that's probably the best way to start if you're a pastor. We're just going to break down the church politics now on this podcast. We've definitely not gone off topic at all.
We're definitely not loopy from you having a combined no sleep and me having just woken up.
I didn't have to be at work yesterday until, like, 5:30, so I woke up, like, at 4. So, really, I've only had been asleep for, like, 13 hours or something. So it's not really a big deal. It's more watching Psych for the past 5 hours and wondering what I've done with my life.
Well, now you're starting to just put things together. You're putting clues together.
I'm turning into Sean. I see a lot of myself in Sean Spencer, just not as good looking or don't have hair as good. But see a lot of myself. Not as smart, really. But I'm a big slacker. So I see a lot of myself in him. I had one last point to make about the church. I think if we're going to be a pastor, though, Dan, I think to start with the youth. Best way. That's how you build a following. That's how bands start. You know, you start with the kids, work your way up. They follow you for life. So this shout out to all you pastors out there. Start with the youth, but make sure you're married or you've been laid before you start hanging around. So you just kind of know the difference. Maybe have a daughter so you know the difference. Something.
Oh, here's the big benefit of being a youth pastor is that you don't actually have to know any theology because kids are dumb.
Yeah. You just got to say God and go with the emotional part. And really, that's the fun part. You go with the spirituality part. Maybe that's
yeah, it's all like amorphous, like bland spiritualism.
Yeah.
With
and
no
there's nothing wrong.
Substance
and maybe,
whatsoever.
And, yeah, and maybe that's the best way to do it. No rules, just fun.
No rules, just right.
Have we talked about the stupid youth game where you have to put a marshmallow in your mouth and like say a Bible verse and someone has to guess it? Because I think that was one I played. Like if you did it the secular way, you'd put
this sounds like a groom. This sounds like a grooming thing.
Yeah. Well,
you have to put something in your mouth and then say a thing.
You have to be blindfolded. And sometimes they put like a Twinkie. It feels like a very fleshy feeling Twinkie. It's kind of old and stiff. They put that in your mouth. You gotta like suck out the juice.
Oh no.
And I mentioned I'm from Boston and I was in the Catholic Church in the 80s. That's when I learned this.
Oh, no.
That's Spotlight? The right plot?
Yeah, that's Spotlight.
Yeah.
That guy just died, by the way.
All right, good.
I was like, good. Like, why didn't
we dedicate
kill him sooner?
The show to the pedophile cardinal from Boston? R.I.P. Apostle James or whatever.
God, and the Pope who covered all that stuff up is still alive, too, right?
Who is?
The Pope who was in charge of covering all this stuff up, and then they made him Pope.
The Nazi Pope?
Yeah. who's still, like, I think he's still alive living in, like,
Is France. That why he resigned? Because, like, they played up the Nazi. It's funny how, like, they use the Nazi thing. Because, like, that's
bad. Yeah, they played up the Nazi thing, which should tell you how bad a guy he was. That they were willing that's to go, well, yeah, I mean, sure, he was in the Nazi youth, but, like, everybody was forced to be. Yeah. Like, they were willing to open with that rather than, oh, and also we put him in charge of covering his pedophilia.
Speaking of senile people who wear hats, did you happen to see that clip of the Queen of England, like, just fucking around with her crown, like, after, like, some, like, peasant came in gloves and presented it? She's, like, doing an interview, and she just picks it up because she's just senile and, like, starts poking it and shit. Like, I don't give a shit about this.
She doesn't know what day it is.
Yeah, like, exactly. She doesn't know what the fuck that thing is in front of her. She shouldn't be on TV. But can you imagine, like, being the guy who, like, if you, like, let moisture get on that crown, you'd, like, go to jail. And then, like, the senile, like, old lady who's never worked a day in her life, just an awful human being, you know, just picks it up and, like, just shits in it.
It's like, well.
Yeah. She did mention too, she bent over when she wore all the royal jewels around her neck would break. And, I think that's a good way to take out the royal family, Dan. Maybe make the queen bend over.
Just one by one, we take them out by tricking them into doing, like, really basic things.
They took themselves out, Dan, by we touched on it last week, by allowing a mixed race person to come in.
God, they're freaking out so much.
Yeah, because here's the truth with white people: we're just not going to care about them. Like, that's when, like, they'll stop giving money to the royal family. Like, when there's, like, a half, you know, mixed race kid as king or prince, they'll cut them all off. I guess. Like, it's so racist over there in England. That's exactly what's going to happen, though. You want to get rid of the royal family? This is the best way.
Like,
give Prince William the jungle fever. Or Harry, whichever the fuck one.
Yeah, it's Harry. So, like, William would have to die, his kid would have to die, and then Harry would have to die, and then the mixed race kid could be king.
Yes. It's going to be awesome.
So all we need is, like, a plane crash.
It could happen.
especially if I'm involved. Rubs hands together.
I hate, though, that we have to, like, hear about, like, the fact that I even to see some interview with the Queen. Like, I live in America. Like, our ancestors, Dan, died, so we have to give a shit about that. And this is what we still have to hear about it. Like, there's going to be a wedding, and it's going to cancel cartoons and ruin kids' lives. Just the way Prince Diana did that fateful Saturday. But I didn't see any goddamn cartoons because there are fucking funerals on every channel on Saturday morning. It's ridiculous.
I could give less than a shit.
Wasn't there a royal wedding like 5 years? Didn't we just do this shit like 5 years ago or something?
Yeah.
Like with Princess Diana Jr. or whatever the fuck that guy, that bald.
Those like weird fuck. Balding creeps who, you know. The only minor, like, token of respect I can give those dumbasses is that they've at least learned the one smart thing their dad did and was like, oh, we our gene pool's getting fucked up. We gotta go marry somebody from outside.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they, like,
it's like Prince Charles took a look in the mirror and he goes, oh, no.
Something's wrong with me.
He looked at his cousin and was just like, I can't do this, man. He looked at his 12-year-old cousin and he was told to fuck. I'm told. When is the sex scandal going to hit the royal family? You know,
it hasn't already. Didn't it happen in the 80s? Like, weren't there a bunch of like?
Wasn't this like Princess Di cheating though? Oh, maybe there was.
Well, no. Like, there was a bunch of like Tories and like what's the House of Lords who were like involved in a pedophile ring?
Oh, that's right. Like, because remember, like, they talk about like Pizzagate with all the conspiracies and like didn't those guys get caught because they left like a door open or something?
Yes, like it wasn't.
It was like, no, these people are really dumb. I promise you.
Yeah. Back like, to they aren't using, like, code words. They wrote letters to each other going, hey, there's a 9-year-old. You want to come over?
Yeah.
Like it's
full circle back to the Illuminati, Dan.
People desperately want to believe that there's, like, this class of extremely intelligent, like moneyed, well-bloodlined, like, people controlling the world, when the reality is all those people with, like, old money are borderline retarded.
Yeah, most of them are. Are they inbred? So they probably are. They probably, like, have, like, 80 chromosomes or something awful.
Like, they literally...
What do you think, like, blue blood came? Like, wasn't that, like, a thing where, like, I forgot how blue blood actually works if you have it, but in like some weird inbred disease or something.
Yeah, I've not heard that, but it's.
I'm probably wrong.
It's just something like,
to do with oxygen or something. I don't remember. I'm a chemist.
Like they're literally like they're the dumbest people. Like, and when
the
you look at,
they don't have to do anything their whole lives. It's wonderful. Like I would be dumb as shit. I would like, although I would trade my life in a second to be a member. Like take away half my brain if that's what it takes. Yeah, that's awesome. You do nothing all day and people just treat you like you're a god. Like of course it's awesome. Of course they're dumb. So, Dan, I think that brings me full circle back to this. What was the best college football game of the year? What do you think was the finish out our college football awards?
Let's see. It was probably Oklahoma Georgia, right?
That's what I was gonna say. That was probably one of the best games seen in a while. Like, really, 2018 might be a pretty good year for fun football games. They've all been great so far, when you think about it, except for, like, two. So.
Especially for that national championship game, which was a good game, but, like,
Yeah. Well, I had a fun time. Dan, let's move on to our last story. Our last story of the evening. My favorite passages. Story ever. On MLK Day, Dan, the NBA turned into WWE somehow. It's like Raw. It's like Freaky Monday, where like Monday Night Raw and the NBA switch places.
Yeah, Raw became very classy. Yeah, wait, no, Raw wasn't it just Braun really... Strowman like tipping things over?
Yeah, I think I was like, I didn't watch any of it, but yeah, that's what I heard. It's like Braun Strowman got fired, like killed, like raped Kevin Dunn, and they rehired him.
he went into a production truck and tipped it over and then just molested Kevin Dunn.
Molested Kevin Dunn. And that's how he got rehired. Stephanie
because Vince McMahon went, ha, ha, ha.
Pow. Pow. But you know, I'm just going to say that I'm really hyper Raw next week. I will say that. Brother Love.
I love that guy was as fired as you could be.
He brought a gun to work.
He insulted the boss's daughter.
And he's going to kiss his ass back. He's going to have a job.
Because he has a very successful podcast, he's now like, he's gamed Vince back into letting him in.
Where he like genuinely, he does play Paul. He's a good kiss ass. That's what Bruce Pritchard is. He's a great kiss ass. I don't get why you want to keep him around.
Well, the other thing about Bruce, and I know this is now, we're violently off topic. Yeah. But the other thing about Bruce is that he was a Shane guy. Like, he was a Shane loyalist. And then his period of getting fired was when all the Shane people started getting purged. Like, everybody who had been around.
Are you saying maybe
Stephanie
that's why Bruce is back?
Cause Shane, I mean, it's interesting. It's pretty interesting that Shane's been back in the company as a performer for... What, 2-3 years now? And all of a sudden now we're getting Bruce back.
Mm.
I mean, that's interesting.
And did you see who Conrad got married to?
Conrad is marrying Megan Flair.
Yes. And people are like, what a mark. And it's like, no, probably because he has a pretty successful real estate finance company. Like, they need money.
I mean...
He is the money mark, I guess. But it's more like they're screwing him. I don't know. But good for Conrad, though. Hopefully everything works out. I like
that. It is very Nicolas Cage marrying Lisa Marie Presley.
Conrad's a good guy, yeah.
I think, hey.
You know why I like Conrad, too? Because they haven't done the Trump episode on that podcast. We're talking about something to wrestle with, if you didn't know. They haven't talked about Trump because I think they just know it would just turn off. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
He's a very clever fella. That's for sure.
Yes. And he was against Roy Moore. So.
Well, I mean, that doesn't take much decency, but yeah.
You know what? I'll take it.
That's as far out on the political.
Well, he's also a financial guy, Dan. Like, he literally probably screws people out of their homes all the time.
Hey, Conrad Thompson helps you get a loan. Mm-hmm. We've never heard anything bad about people who are like loan officers or whatever.
Yeah. And that's, what's that website?
BrucePritchardFinance.com.
Yeah. I want to get a loan from the guy who like painted his face red and had Roddy Piper like stick an extinguisher up his pants when he's wearing a kilt. That's what I want.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of financial due diligence, I think of Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, but let's jump to what happened in the NBA on Monday, Dan, because you had a lot of stuff happening. Kyle Lowry and Ben Simmons literally almost fought in the hallway. Like, Ben Simmons said, meet me there. Lowry went over there to go fight him after they both got ejected. And Simmons didn't fight him. What else you had? After the Cavs lost to the Warriors didn't have any heat in their, you know, any hot water in their locker room. But you end the day with the best story ever, Dan. And it was a great series of events that set this off. Like, the first thing was Mike D'Antoni had been out of the coach's box, and Blake Griffin, being the dick he is, elbows him, correct?
Yes.
And then
D'Antonio yells, fuck you, Blake! Fuck you!
And then Austin Rivers talks shit to Trevor Ariza, and then I think Griffin gets kicked out of the game, correct?
Well, Rivers talked shit on everybody constantly the whole game, from the bench, because he's injured.
Yeah, like his arm in a sling, like a fucking pussy, yeah.
So you can't do anything to him. Like, so Austin Rivers is just like the classic, like, shithead, like, coach's son.
He's like Eric Trump or Donald Trump. He really is kind of like that. Like, a guy who's just there. Like, yeah,
he's a terrible basketball player.
Yeah.
He would not be in the NBA if his dad wasn't a GM/coach. Like, that's just a fact. He would not be an NBA player.
He would have watched
playing in Europe.
He's a guy with a, obviously he's a talented. Like, if you're in the NBA, you're a good basketball.
He's not though, because he's not an NBA player. Like, he's not.
Yeah, that's
NBA
what I'm
player.
Saying. He's a guy who, like, when he started though, yeah, maybe he would have washed out in about 3 or 4 years. I mean, he's been in the league now like pushing a decade. It feels like at this point. Austin Rivers. Maybe it just feels that way. Didn't he start off with, like, the Hornets or Bobcats or something weird? I can't remember.
I believe he was on the Bobcats. That does have the ring of truth to it.
Yeah, because that's always like those Charlotte teams do, is they find a guy who's, like, well-known in the NCAA tournament and, like, just take them.
Especially if they played in the ACC, because that's all Michael Jordan knows.
Yeah, just all ACC. Even though, like, it's pretty clear, like, the best players are all from Kentucky. The college, not the state, or the university. But yeah, so this happens, Dan, a big altercation. But then what makes the NBA the best league in the world ever, maybe ever, Dan, happens. And can you take us through what happened?
So there is apparently a secret passage. Some people describe it as a secret passage. Other people were like, well, no, these are well-known hallways that
like a
connect.
Corridor, but it's like it's something that like then Staples Center. It's something I believe Kobe used a lot to either avoid the media or like maybe go talk to a player after the game or something like that. Just have some private. Like usually players use it to go meet each other after the game and you know in privacy and not break kayfabe.
Right, right. That is its main use, is to not break kayfabe and for players to go see each other.
Yeah, but Chris Paul, who must hate Austin Rivers, like, literally must hate his guts. You had, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, and Gerald Green all go through this little corridor that leads to the back of the Clippers locker room, right?
Yes.
So you have Chris Paul, who played with, he really doesn't like, apparently. He just hates Doc Rivers. He hates everyone on the Clippers now. You have Trevor Ariza, who almost got into the altercation with Rivers, you know, during the game. You have Gerald Green, who was on the Boston Celtics when Doc Rivers coached them and knew a middle school-aged Austin Rivers. It must have been hating him for over almost 2 decades now.
Has been wanting to beat that kid's ass since before he could drive.
Yeah, since before his balls dropped, he's wanted to kick this kid's ass. All sneak through this passage. But that's not even the best part of the story, Dan. Best part is they sent Clint Capella to the front and knocked on the door really quick, which the Clippers opened the door and then slammed it back shut really quick. Like a movie almost. Like when you open it and you see the guy's going to kick your ass and you slam it shut really quick. Basically what happened there. And then like all hell broke loose. Like the cops got called for some reason. I think Lou Williams sat in the corner the whole time. It was just like, I didn't see nothing. Was that his response? And then afterwards, Blake Griffin posted a GIF of the Joker. Patrick Beverly said the Clippers are hard now, we're not weak, or something like that. Everyone had jokes about Chris Paul finally leading a team to do something. But I think my favorite was, did you see Daryl Morey's Mark Twain reference?
I did not see that, and I don't understand it.
Okay, he posted a picture of Paul Pierce and said he just got his shoes on. There's a I heard this on another podcast. There's a Mark Twain quote that was, a lie goes around the whole world before the truth has a chance to put its shoes on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You had Daryl Morey.
Yeah, like you had him have to prove how smart he is, I guess. So yeah.
Like, are you trying to say that they didn't get in there? Like, that they didn't go in there to fight?
I guess that's what he's trying, or maybe the whole story's overblown. It might be because, too, James Harden tried to stop Chris Paul from doing this. Mind you, Chris Paul, the leader of the players' union, the president, I believe. tried to stop him. There's a report they got into a fight, but I think it was just Harden, like, telling him he shouldn't go do this, and Chris Paul said, fuck you, I'm going to do this. Because apparently Chris Paul fancies himself kind of like LeBron does, where, like, he wants control over everything, and he just kind of has that attitude, but he's not LeBron, obviously. So I just want to – is this the greatest sports story ever? It feels like it. It feels like this is going to create some great memes, at least. For
you. I'm so – it makes me so happy. I love everything about this story.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way around. I mean, they went to go fight him in their locker room. Like,
and took a secret passage. I don't care if it was a secret passage.
Like Chris Paul, like that gif of like the Tom and Jerry where Tom opens the door and lets in like the big palooka cats in, like one by one to go fight.
But the best part is that they drew up a play to go jump the Clippers in the locker. They sent a distraction, a Swedish distraction, if you will. Clint Capella. Maybe that's a fun new nickname for him, the Swedish distraction. I love that. Like, I love that some people speculated that he didn't even know the plan. They just told him to go knock on the door. Like, they didn't like Ocean's Third. It was like an Ocean's 11 style plan by Chris Paul. It was beautiful. Danny Ocean would be very proud of the work Chris Paul did. It's the greatest. Like, I remember, like, it broke, like, around 2 a.m. Tuesday morning or something, and it was just, like, I think, like, late-night Twitter was just, like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. Like, it was like the NBA equivalent of a Kambifi, but actually, like, funny and relevant and not stupid.
And fewer dorks involved.
Yeah.
Like Eric Garland was not involved in ruining this.
No. Who's blocked me on Twitter? I don't think I've ever tweeted him.
Yeah, you're a Russian psyop. We all know this.
Right, comrade.
We've known this forever. Come on.
So, Dan, the NBA's back, and I think it's ready to take over. NFL had a great weekend. NBA stole the thunder, as usual, with what makes the NBA great, and that's pure drama. It's the best reality show going, you know?
There's just – how do you top a secret passage? Like, how do you top that?
Yeah, and these teams get to play again in just a few weeks, so – in LA again. So I would imagine that secret passage might be blocked.
They're going to have a guard at the secret passage.
Or what was the story, too, about like Doc Rivers hiding Bunny in the Staples Center during the playoffs? Because he knew they'd be back. He hid like $20,000.
What?
It's something like they hid it in the ceiling tile. So someone's like, maybe Chris Paul is just trying to find that money.
This is now a treasure hunt.
Yeah. It is an ocean. Paul's 13. I love that they look like the guys leading the charge there, like, I mean, Harden one involved, obviously, but like, are in that Allstate commercial where they sing the Backstreet Boys. That's like the best thing ever. That's why the NBA is the best. You can't beat it, Dan. It's the best.
There is no way around it, and you cannot top it.
Yes, and I think we'll leave that there. So. A fun show. Next week we'll be back. We'll know who's going to the Super Bowl, Dan.
Oh,
can't beat that.
Excuse me, we can't say that term. They're going to send a legal cease and desist.
Oh, yeah.
The big game.
The big game, baby.
The big game on Sunday.
The Duper Bowl.
The what? Oh,
the Duper Bowl.
The Mark Duper Bowl.
What's a bigger word? What's like a synonym for super?
The Mega Bowl.
The Mega Bowl. What do they call the XFL championship?
Explode at the Mega Bowl.
What was the XFL champ? Was it just the XFL championship?
I thought they called it the big game at the end of the year.
Hmm. I wonder what they'll call it this time. The
Football Mania.
That would be great. That would be like the best side that Vince is just going to
Well, because all of this is because Vince has gone senile, right? Like,
yeah.
We all know this. This is just
well,
like,
and it's probably a great political ploy by somebody to push him away from the company.
Triple H has just been talking to him. Hey, Dad, what about that football thing? You think it could work? Come on, Dad. Don't you want to try it?
I may have been watching too much USA comedy police dramas, but maybe there's a murder plot going on here. It seems like there's a lot going on. So sure. The case, Linda McMahon.
Hunter's trying to convince him to leave early so that Shane can't weasel his way back in and fuck Hunter out of the spot.
Yes.
Hunter's got to get the spot now, because if he waits around, you know, if he waits around, Shane might get the gig back, and you don't want that.
Well, but we'll be back to discuss that, and we'll discuss, we'll take a big deep dive, not only into the inner workings of every church, Dan, but we'll take a deep dive into Sunland in Arizona. I think that's an interesting hire. Look at who they got at quarterback. Arizona might be a fun little pick there for the Pac-12 South next year.
Definitely, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. So we'll maybe take a deep dive into that. I think that's a bigger hire than people think, and I'd like to kind of give it some time. So first good hire Arizona's made in forever, really, when you think.
Well, I think Arizona's actually made – this is like the third straight good hire they've made.
Yeah, and it just didn't work.
It hasn't worked out. Which is why I thought they should have hired Kennedy and Amatalolo. But we'll save that conversation for when we go over Kevin Sumlin. Yeah. On that note, it's been a great show. It's been a morning record. I think this went okay. We didn't kill each other. And on that note, play the music, Jason.